All right, guys, it is almost time for you to run a trail race that is part of the Golden Trail Series Broken Arrow in Lake Tahoe.
Do you know how much training I've done for this, Robbie?
Hopefully some.
Zero. I haven't been on the trails in a while. I need to get out there because trails always kick my butt.
I think I'm going to do a trail race this weekend to tune up.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You've got gunpowder, right?
Yeah. There's a 5 mile.
Are you going to have the boy?
Yeah.
All right.
Get him out there.
So what? Tell me more about Broken Arrow, Meg.
Well, you guys are going to be hosting a bunch of stuff, so I think people can come hang out even if they're not racing. But it's a super fun event. It has everything from an 11K to a 46K, I think, and like a vertical K, which we found out is longer than a K, but it's 1K of vert.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you can find out more about the series in general by going to goldentrailseries.com or just follow Solomon or the Golden Trail Series on Instagram.
Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
This is Robbie with Believe in the Run.
This is Megan with Believe in the Run.
Why are you giggling already, Meg?
Because he like half like did the this,
oh,
the
don't
gun.
Say it. You said it.
Sorry.
We
you
won't
can't
get
say it.
Flag for that.
You have to beep it now. Yeah, Robbie, you can show the camera what you got. It's like sign language. Yeah.
Finger guns.
If you want.
Wait, oh, he can
he
say
did it.
It
again.
Yeah, I don't think you actually get flagged for that.
I like your hat.
Oh.
I have one here myself.
Thanks.
Limited a dish.
This is for the people going to
Brooklyn.
Yeah, the RBC Brooklyn half is this weekend. So by the time this podcast comes out, we'll already be in Brooklyn. We'll have
already
done
the shakeout.
Some events. We'll be probably getting ready for the shakeout if you're listening to this at 6 a.m. in the
we'll
morning.
We'll be getting ready to hand these luscious corduroy embroidered hats out.
How's the weather looking like this weekend?
I haven't looked.
It's probably pretty nice, right?
I think it's going to be a little warm, but... Ugh. Like nice, like 70s, like good hangout weather.
Yeah, hangout.
I mean,
last year it was like warm and humid.
The high is only 64 in New York on Saturday.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
That's a high?
50% chance of rain, though. That's what we kind of had last year in Brooklyn for the run, is it like rained and... Mm-hmm.
And that kind of put a little bit of a spoiler on the post party, because instead of being out eating hot dogs... And that kind of stuff.
Coney Island.
Yeah.
Is that where we were on to?
We were on Coney Island.
Man, why can't hot dogs be healthy food?
A tofu dog?
No. Just why can't hot dogs as they are be the best food for you?
Because as they are is made out of trash.
Dude, I could eat hot dogs probably for every meal.
I got to say, I'm with not every meal, but I'm with Robbie on this one. Like we did like bratwurst in Germany.
Yeah.
And then when we came home, I grilled some up and I'm a bun, mustard.
And there's so many variations on them. You could get like jalapeno infused, cheddar, you know, all kinds of cheeses.
That's how I feel about tacos.
Robbie,
you can have a lot of different kinds of tacos.
Yeah.
Robbie just kind of sounded like not Bubba from
shrimp. The shrimp gumbo, shrimp.
There's infused with cheeses, jalapeno, chicken dogs,
but
turkey dogs.
It's kind of endless. It's like I think they did that. They were the first to do that before Oreo had all those flavors.
How do you mean?
Like, I feel like bratwurst sausages, they did such an array of flavors before. Now Oreos and cereal boxes, they all have like every flavor in the rainbow.
And you think that was all started by the hot dog?
Yeah. The syndicate.
Syndicate, yeah. Hot dog syndicate. It's funny that you said syndicate because that's the exact word I was looking for.
Oh, nice.
So maybe we're spending too much time together.
Probably. But I always think about this if you were on a desert island and you had one food.
Oh, did I get sick of hot dogs?
To pick that was both like, it had to be somewhat.
Sweet potatoes.
Like it had to keep you alive, but
sweet
it was.
Potatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the one?
Yeah.
Does that have enough nutritional?
Maybe it lacks protein. I don't think
you can I ask you a question? If I'm on this island with Megan, do I get my own food or do we have to agree on a food?
Because, no, you get your own.
Okay,
so each person gets their own.
Because I could get away with a sweet potato if maybe I could have an endless
supply. Oh, you can't share. That's
okay. Hamburger. There's 2 grams of protein, 27 grams of carbs, and.
Okay.
I mean, you just need carbs and protein really to survive.
Yeah. So a lot of people say. An eggs would be a good
No, you can't just eat eggs, though.
You know, it'd be weird. How do the eggs show up? Is it like magically appear each day?
There's no carbs. You will have. You'll die.
No, you won't.
Mm. You will die from just eating eggs.
I don't know.
Do you need carbs?
I feel like the sun just gives you carbs if you're out in it long.
Yeah, vitamin carb. I think you get from the sun.
If you get vitamin D, how can you not get carbs?
Yeah. That sounds accurate.
But I was thinking,
plus for carbs, couldn't you just eat like a palm tree?
So you can eat the bark of things.
Yeah,
trust me, I've tried. So here's what my food is. Is peanut butter? Would peanut butter be a sustainable option?
Yes. Peanut butter would be amazing.
Because I could eat peanut butter forever. In fact, I do it now.
I do. I love peanuts.
Yeah. Just get that hard tea in there. But like I feel that has fat and protein.
I mean, don't kids basically grow up on that?
And yeah, I did. I think I had peanut butter and jelly for lunch for 12 years in a row.
See, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you can survive on. That has your carbs, your protein, your fats. Peanut butter on its own, I don't know.
It has some sugar in it if you get the like Skippy or Jif brand.
Okay, what are we talking? Are we talking about like any type of peanut butter?
Yeah, just like the
no-stir.
Okay.
Because then you've got like the oils and stuff in there.
I got a question for
you. Your arm would fall off.
So you're on this island.
You wouldn't have an arm.
You're running around, right? You're probably getting 0.25 miles a day in circles.
Uh-huh. We're still training.
We're still training because you're eating your peanut butter. It's insane. How soon do you miss coffee? Or is it one of those things you miss it real bad and then it starts to fade away and you forget about it?
Yeah, I generally drink coffee every day, but I don't find that I miss it.
What?
If I don't have it a day.
Isn't that weird? We're going to the airport and if I haven't had it before we leave the house, all I can think about... it's getting through security to get to a coffee. Yeah. I tend to think, I was telling Meg this weekend, I almost have like a beverage clock. So it's like, I can't wait to wake up in the morning. Do you have my coffee? And then I can't wait till the evening.
Oh, I thought that was an Instagram purchase, a beverage clock.
A cocktail. Good make it.
There's definitely one out there.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay. Now wait for the Instagram ads.
It's 12 hours apart, 5 and 5.
So instead of it's 5 o'clock somewhere for you, it's like it's 8 a.m. somewhere.
Well, no, it'd be 5 a.m. for coffee.
Oh, okay.
And then 5 p.m. for cocktails.
You're on a cycle.
There's a clock that I just found that has fives for every number and it just says it's time to drink.
I like that.
That is good.
Okay, so we're stuck on an island. You have one thing you need for the rest of your life. You're going peanut butter. You're going what?
Chicken.
I'm going sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I want a chicken.
And you're going sweet potatoes. That actually makes a pretty good dish there if you put it all together.
Think about it. We could have a spicy peanut chicken.
Do we get to choose who we hang out with and then can steal their food?
Yeah.
Because then maybe this works.
I mean, I want the chicken as long as I'm able to make a fire. Like if I can't make a fire,
I don't want
raw chicken.
It'll kill you.
Sushi chicken, man. That's the worst.
Plus you'd have, yeah. That'd be gross.
Yeah. Oh, I saw I can't get this image out of my head now.
Oh,
I saw it on, I don't know, Morbid Facts or something. And it was like X-ray or an MRI of somebody who ate raw pork for like 20 years.
Filled with worms?
Yeah. Like their whole leg was just a worm's nest.
What?
It was like, I can't
get
it.
How are they alive?
And now I can't stop seeing it.
That's not real.
I saw there's a cheese in Italy where they intentionally put cheese flies on it and the maggots go in the cheese.
We're done with this topic.
And then you eat them too.
Stop.
Yeah. And they say it's creamy and like ice cream. And I'm like, ugh.
When this is in Italy or France?
Italy.
Oh, so we missed it.
We could have tried this maggot cheese.
Would you try like a bite?
No.
Oh.
I would let you try it, and if you were like, "This is really good, you got to try it." Maybe I'd try a little.
I think I'd have to try one bite.
You know what? Everybody this topic was not on any of the suggested topic lists.
Oh, why don't you go through some of the things that
someone said?
Not one person said I would like to hear about maggot cheese.
Herm's Run wanted to talk about Trash Island.
Yeah, which I've followed Trash Island to some degree.
You would be the king of Trash Island.
Yeah, that's my land. My people are waiting for me to return to my kingdom.
What is this actual thing? An entire floating island of trash?
Yeah, it's that the currents basically take all the trash into this one, which is kind of nice of them. They're cleaning up the ocean without even telling them to do it.
It's like the sea monkeys.
Yeah. And then remember you could send away for those.
Yeah.
And then
that's actually in the new Seinfeld show on Netflix.
Oh, really?
The one about Pop-Tarts. They have a thing about the sea monkeys.
Oh, okay. But the trash island, yeah, it's just a floating huge island in the middle of the Pacific, I believe.
Oh. This one's kind of deep. Do you want to dig into this?
Yeah.
From Bridget Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. She said, when to know to pivot from a goal race like what Thomas talked about on Fuel for the Soul, wishing he could show off his fitness on a better day. When do you pivot and try to regroup? And when do you just take the day you're handed?
Well, I'm not that smart. So I just take the day that I'm handed and then complain about it later.
I think 9 times out of 10, you take the day you're handed. Like, you usually have planned a bunch around it. There's travel involved. It's kind of like that's what at least the marathon distance, I feel like that's just part of it.
Well, I do think there is time. Like I did, and I think it's a dangerous game to play. I was somewhat injured and we went to run Steamtown. And I had talked to my coach at the time and we had said, if you're not feeling like you're going to PR or have a great day, don't make the injury worse and stop midway. So I ran to the halfway point and I was like running okay, but I knew it wasn't going to be a great day. It was hot. It was humid. It was raining. It just, you remember that day. It was like one of your least favorite marathons.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to the halfway point and being like, yeah, today's not going to be the day. And so I jumped on the sag wagon. Now, the reason I say it's dangerous, you see some runners that anytime it's not completely perfect, they'll start dropping out or DNFing. And then I think the problem is it almost becomes like a habit. Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, if you have an excuse in the back of your head ready to go, you're going to use it. Like yeah. You're inevitably going to feel bad in a marathon at some point. And if you have hey, I can always just jump off here and not finish the run. Like your chances are you're going to do that.
I also think it depends on the person. Cause I think like, at this point, I've run enough marathons where I know that not everyone's going to be a great performance.
Yeah.
Well, and I've gotten away from being afraid to have a poor performance on the marathon, where I think early on I was like so conscious of, like I used to have good marathons and I didn't think they were good because they were off by 5 minutes or whatever and ruined them for myself. But like, I think now it's like, okay, I know it's not going to be a great time, but I'm out here to do this and I'm just going to do it.
I just always feel like unless you're catastrophically injured, like I don't understand not finishing a marathon. Like I mean, you can clearly do the distance if you've trained for it. So
I was upset one time.
So just finish it.
I think some people don't want like a certain time on their record.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like they're embarrassed by it.
There was a guy in Baltimore that was a really fast runner. And I was running Lehigh and I remember I saw him and I passed him at mile 25. And to me, this guy was like, like he was a Jeremy Ardenoy style runner. Like he was winning all the races in Baltimore, everything like that. And, this is, I don't know, 10 years, maybe 10 years ago or something when I ran Lehigh. And I remember passing him and I was like, not excited to pass him as like, haha, I'm passing you. It was more like, oh, wow, he's someone I really respect.
And everyone can have a bad day.
And if I can have a win against him, that would be great. And he DNF'd, and I was passing him at like mile 25.
Yeah.
And so he DNF'd, didn't want the time on his record. But I kind of felt like he robbed me of having, like it's a race.
Yeah.
And he took away the opportunity for me to have a win.
To shove it in his face, yeah.
No, not shove it in his face, but like,
what a jerk, not thinking about Thomas at mile 25. And
think about it. But at the same time, I'm sure that when we're out there, there's people, just like when I look at celebrities or something and I'm like, do I run a faster marathon than Will Ferrell or something like that? You know, I'm sure that there are people though that are like, oh, that's, I ran faster than, you know, Thomas from Believe in the Run or something like that. Or, you know,
yeah,
I couldn't beat Megan. But, you know, I do think that if you step off the course and take yourself out of a race, you're taking something away from the people that are racing.
I get it
too.
I don't know if we answered your question at all, but that's
when to pivot.
Talking in circles.
If you're injured and you have the ability to rest that injury and take advantage of your fitness, then I'd say there's no point in trying to run a marathon in pain from the start.
Yeah.
So I would pivot if I was unable to run at full strength, I guess.
We got a question about, and this was in a couple places, so I feel like we should answer it because ours are all probably different. This is from Allie. She said, if you don't use on-course nutrition, how the heck are you fitting 7+ gels? Bonus points for creativity. All right, it Megan, doesn't chafe.
This is a woman.
Yeah.
So why don't we hear how you would do it? Because you do it all the time.
Yeah. So I used to put them under my sports bra and then that chafing got real, real fast. So I've pretty much stopped doing that. I usually will fit one in there, but it's like the first one I'll take. So it's not sitting there very long. I carry a handheld for pretty much every race. So I bank on using the pocket in my handheld to put like 3 in there, sometimes 4. And then I'll carry one to start. And then I have a shorts pocket that I'll put 2 in.
Okay. Do you, when you do your training runs, do you use a handheld?
Yeah, my long runs.
That's good.
What do you put your gels in, Robbie?
I mean, as of the last few marathons, I will only wear race tights with the side pockets. So you can fit easily. You can honestly fit 6 just in those. Or a spy belt, which I'll put a few in there.
I like
and then
the
whatever
belt.
Ones I find on the ground, I'll just pick up and put
You back. Don't feel like the spy belt bounces around?
I actually never had any problems with that.
No, and I have the compressed sport one. Uh-huh. That is really...
It's like thicker band, right?
It's thicker. Yeah. So like that's the thing. You don't want a thin band because then, yeah, if the bounces. Stuff gets in there, it bounces. But if you get the wide, thick ones, it can usually stay put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like for me, that's the easiest way to get all the stuff because I can also throw my phone in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never tried that, the compressed sport or the flip belts, but a lot of people like the flip belt one too.
Do you run with your phone still?
Almost always, yes, but I have the sports bra with the pocket in the back, so I just take the phone case off and slide it right back there, and you wouldn't even know it was there.
Do you know what sports bra that is for anyone?
Yeah, Rabbit. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's called the...
Didn't Tracksmith just come out with one too?
So Tracksmith has one that's good for gels where it has the 2 lines in the front, so you can actually stick the gels in between so you don't have the chafing.
Bandit just came out with a crazy one, right? It has like... basically a bandolier.
I have one. I haven't tested it out yet. It's like a crop top, basically. So it's like it has like a sports bra top all in one. But yeah, Rabbit has a, I forget what it's called. It might just be called the pocket bra.
Yeah, that is what it is.
But I have probably 4 or 5 of them and literally just wear them all the time.
There you go.
You know, it's funny because we were at Adidas and they were showing us the Adios gear. Which is specifically made for like their pros.
Like the Adi Zero?
Yeah, like the top of the line.
Yeah.
Their race day stuff. And, you know, they bring us in who are, you know, like casual, like running enthusiasts. What do you call ourselves?
That's actually pretty accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Running enthusiasts.
On a good day.
So there's a bunch of us in there from different outlets, different media outlets, influencers, that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're showing us the gear and people are like, could we get this with more pockets? And one guy was like, I need a pocket for my phone on the lake. I'm like, guys, you're talking to the wrong crew here.
That's the thing. When they have race tights, they don't need pockets because they're getting,
the bottle service and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're talking to the wrong people. Now, if you want, like, there should be like the hobby jogger version of it with all that, but you can get that, I think.
What? Because I've been using the Mylar running race tight.
Love that one.
It's just like my favorite. It's not cheap, but it's also very well made.
The fabric is insane.
Yeah,
it feels good against your skin. It, you're right. The side pockets.
Yeah, just perfect.
Yeah,
it doesn't pull down like you know, come off your waist or whatever. Even if it's loaded up.
What colors do you have?
In the Mylar tights.
Yeah,
just the black ones.
Okay, the black one I think is a stand. Then there's the work collection.
Oh, okay.
And there's like a gunmetal gray that I like. Mm-hmm. I love all of his stuff though.
Yeah. Anyways,
don't know what we were talking about at the top of this podcast, but you guys brought up Oreos and then I Googled some of the weirdest flavors.
Oh yeah.
Are you aware of some of these?
We're talking about hot dogs.
I've seen a lot of them. I know Kira D'Amato did like a taste test thing of all them.
But they have like the limited edition ones.
Oh yeah.
Hit us with some flavors.
Waffles and syrup. That doesn't sound too bad.
No.
Fireworks.
I'm in.
Is that the Katy Perry?
Featured vanilla speckled with blue and red
Topping candies. Oh, so it's like a 4th of July,
confetti cake.
A cherry cola.
I like that. I would do that.
Pina colada thins.
Yes.
So the thin ones.
No way.
I would definitely do that.
That was a limited edition one?
Yeah.
We need to find out when those come out because that sounds right in my wheelhouse.
Kettle corn.
Kettle corn is good for 2 bites and then it's like, this is just...
candy.
Too sweet.
Okay, wait. I have one that's not okay. Swedish fish.
Yeah.
Oreos?
Is there any dill pickle
ones?
It was
a 2016 mashup.
Yeah.
If they had like potato chips and dill pickle, like the outside tasted like potato chip and the inside tasted like dill
pickle. They had a hot and spicy cinnamon.
I like, that's a fireball.
A key lime pie.
Oh, yeah.
Blueberry pie. Yeah.
That's key lime pie is my,
that's your jam?
Favorite dessert.
So when we go on the Robbie retreat, will there be key lime pie?
Maybe. My wife does make it for me for my birthday. So bless her heart.
Is Kimmy coming?
To the running retreat?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh. I know Justine is coming. She's pretty excited.
She's the only woman.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, I don't think Kimmy, maybe she'll show up.
All right.
Maybe I'll force her to come with a key lime pie.
All right, first check-in. I know you guys probably think that we don't care about shoes too much. I mean, we just devote all our time to reviewing and checking out new shoes and new product and trying to give you guys good recommendations. And here's my recommendation for right now. You're getting into the summer heat. It's going to be slogs. It's going to be tough. Do you have a pair of shoes that's ready for training that you'll be excited to throw on and get you out there? Because you're going to need all the help with motivation that you can get when it starts getting warm and the temperatures start making you drag. So make sure you have a fun shoe that breathes well. And if you want any help with picking one out, just contact Robbie and he will let you know.
Okay. Another sponsor of today's podcast is Cherrabundi. You love this stuff. Robbie loves this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that. What do you, anti-inflammatory benefits is what I'm going for here.
Yeah. So they reduce inflammation, helps you sleep better and recover faster.
Especially the one that has the melatonin in it.
Yeah. So that one's obviously great for sleep. I know we just got some of the bottles, which you love.
I do. It makes it easy.
Put a bunch in the fridge. So drink that when you get home. And then also they have the pouches that you can put in the freezer and have like a popsicle after a hot run, which is pretty nice.
I mean, it's the best thing after a hot summer run for sure.
So,
do you think your kids would like it?
That's a good question. I tried to give them one. I was going to give them one yesterday, I think, but I forgot to.
I'm curious because it's a little tart.
Yeah.
Megan Featherston said her kids love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They probably eat all sorts of good stuff, though. They're probably used to eating spinach.
No, it tastes amazing.
All right.
So if you want to get some, you can use the promo code THEDROP. Just go to cherrabundi.com and that'll save you 20%.
Who asked about our favorite or least favorite running trends right now? Because I think Robbie could go off on that.
Oh, I don't know someone.
Let's see. How long, do we have for the podcast? I don't think there's any...
What do you mean trend?
The crazy thing is that I feel like we have 1 foot in every one of these, in any trend that we're talking about. So it's not like I'm totally hypocritical if I criticize any of this stuff.
But I think we can be self-aware in that sometimes we do dumb stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running podcasts that don't talk about running. Boom.
Benjamin David.
Yeah. Benjamin.
Oh, we met Ben. He's a rabbi.
Oh, Rabbi David. Yeah. Man, he really has that name. Like that is full rabbi name right there. So Benjamin David.
Yeah. Benjamin David.
We met him in Houston, I think, at the marathon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, let's see, trends.
I'm kind of glad this one's going away. The get ready with me.
Yeah.
Like the naked backs of people.
Is
and
that
stuff.
Going away?
I feel like it's calmed down. Cause like for a while,
really
I
bad.
Felt like every time we open my Instagram feed, I was like seeing somebody that I knew half naked. I'm like,
I just saw I saw another get ready with me this morning and I'm like, I get it. I know why you're doing it, but it's like, I don't brush, watching people brush their teeth is not my thing.
Why do you think people are doing it?
I think it's just inviting, they want to invite their fans or followers more into like their routine and life.
So it's like intimacy?
Maybe. I don't know. It is a weird thing. Who started that?
I don't know if this is a trend or not, but I think there is pressure to continue the content wheel rolling.
For sure.
I think that we're lucky because, you know, if like say that you're not running as much, Robbie, you can just rely on, you know, someone else to pick up the slack or vice versa. So we're not constantly like worried that we're not doing content on an individual basis. However, I think if you were a solo person, mm-hmm. you have to every day be trying to think of something to
honestly
post.
It's a weird Instagram, such an interesting thing, especially Instagram or TikTok, because you have to keep doing that thing or else you lose, like it goes out. So it's like it's not like you have a website or a YouTube or multiple channels that can, like, if the algorithm changes or if something happens on this side, you can lift it up on this side. And if you get injured, then it's kind of like all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to monetize too, like Instagram. Like the fame level, the what do you call it? Exposure level is far greater than other platforms and can be much quicker if you do it right. But I think the like making it as a full-time thing is a really hard nut to crack.
It is why we see so many people doing multiple events back to back, back to back, back to back. And we're guilty of it. I mean, we are constantly traveling and doing stuff, but it's so different than when I started running. The influence, I think, of having to post makes people so much more active, like chasing that. I actually felt bad because I saw Carlith Keys mm-hmm. was having a knee surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, her content is really built around running and that kind of stuff. I'm like, what is, you know, like, it'll be interesting to see what
happens.
Yeah,
but I think people just transfer that to like how to come back from an injury or, you know, like there's a spin on all of
it. She's actually pretty smart about everything she does. And she'll definitely figure it out. She already has, but it's like, it is hard because then you're like, you really do have to.
Well, I look at Laura Green with the pregnancy. She's doing a great job of, mm-hmm. of keeping stuff going. And I guess I think she's still running though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, whether it's injury or just even, I mean, you saw in the beginning, talk about 10 years ago, and Instagram was mostly photo-based and just posting photos of shoes or yourself running would get you a ton of followers. But then you really had to switch that up to be, and a lot of people, I think a lot of people back then too were like introverts who were found a place on Instagram because they didn't have to be in front of the camera or talk, but they could like show, promote themselves.
And then they got screwed.
And then like, yeah, once the content came out, we had to be front and center. It kind of got buried in the mix or switched up the type of person.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, the whole game constantly shifts and transforms and, you know, getting attention and holding attention on these platforms is rough.
Well, and like, I know you get frustrated, Thomas, because we'll spend a bunch of time on a quality piece that looks incredible and it will go nowhere. And then you can post some stupid bouncing shoe machine thing and it gets 1.2 million views. And it's kind of like,
I think you just had to think, who's the dumbest person that's watching this and just make stuff for them.
I agree with you, but that's the thing I was talking to Aubrey about.
It's frustrating.
The other day I was like, I'm like, I still want to make stuff that I enjoy.
And
like one of my favorites was the one that we did with you, Robbie, with the Alpha Fly.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was a fun one. And it's like, I thought it visually looked great. We got the drone out, mm-hmm. flew it over you. We edited it all up. I thought it was crisp, clean. It was fun. And that one, like,
fine, but
yeah, fine, but like, yeah, it
wasn't. I mean, but and that's the thing. I think you can do. I think value is different than
right,
like
clicks.
And, yeah, and there's likes. Different. There's two different kind of streams that you got to go down at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. You don't see, while you could post the machine videos every day, at a certain, that doesn't offer any value to the consumer or really the brand. I guess it's somewhat of an entertainment thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just for the brand, it's straight for sure. Entertainment and it's impressions for the brand.
Yeah. But do you think that people in the machine are like, oh, that was a New Balance shoe, in that I want to go get New Balance shoes?
I mean, you could argue that about everything.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, so the trend we don't like is get ready with me, which is kind of dead anyway. It turned into get unready with me.
I just like skip past it. Anytime I see it, I just immediately move on, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't even know. Like, I think the thing that is that for me that I don't like about, if I was going to name a negative thing, it's when it becomes a trend. Like when I go to my feed and it's like five different people doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, because they saw somebody do this, run through a door and change outfits while they're running through the door. And then the next week, that's all you see in your feed is like,
yeah,
that thing. Or,
okay. So here's questions. Yeah. Speaking of that, do you think that, and again, we're part of this, do you think that there's going to be within the next year or two, there's just like totally bubble oversaturation and something? Because I don't know how sustainable it is, honestly. Like, for
sustainable, what is
just the amount of influencing going on? Like,
I mean, it's a super thing. If everybody's special,
yeah,
then nobody is.
Exactly. And that's what I mean.
It has gotten to the point where there's so many people doing the same thing. I understand why the brands want it. Like, okay, what's it cost them to send somebody a shoe? Very little.
Yeah.
And for the return to saturate Instagram feed on one day where we all come off embargo and we all post our photo of a shoe.
Yeah.
It's great for them because they look, and everywhere they're looking, that shoe is on Instagram. But at the same time, I think there's something that takes away from the value of that level of thoughtfulness and like review, like real reviews or real like in-depth looking at the shoe. And
well, and it's easy for, like, as soon as I see a shoe that we know is really bad and there's someone who has 100,000 followers saying how amazing it is, like, we know immediately this is not genuine. But I do wonder if most people know that.
I don't think they do. I think that there's starting to become some skepticism. And I think that's what Robbie's kind of talking about, like a bubble. It's like when the blinds are open and people go, oh, that person who's saying they love that shoe, like they got it for free. They possibly could be getting paid for the post.
Yeah.
And like to like totally disclose on our stuff, we don't get paid for our reviews. The brands don't have access to our reviews before we post them. Mm-hmm. We may talk to someone internally and be like, hey, look, this is what we liked about the shoe or didn't like about the shoe. But
we just get shoes sent to us and then we review them. There's like, we do events with pretty much every brand at this point. So yeah. It's not like, I don't ever think about that in regards to if I'm editing people's reviews or writing it. Cause, and we talked about this before.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone appreciates like if we're dead honest with them, like, because that helps in the long run.
But so. I think that we're in a different space than, say,
well, right,
an influencer.
And I will say, like, because we have multiple channels and we have the website and we have the YouTube and Instagram and podcast
and email,
there's less. If you only have that one channel, if you're an Instagram person and you get sent a product, there is 100% more pressure on you to make that product look a certain way. Because especially if you are only getting it from a couple brands, you, that is a case where you need to say certain words that are going to align with what they're sending you. And especially if you're starting out, you definitely feel like you need to stay on the brand's good side. And that's a tough line to walk there.
Yeah, I don't know how I got away with it in the beginning where I would be critical of shoes.
Well, you used to buy them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's part of it, yeah.
But I also think in a lot of cases, people who are promoting the shoes are, like, they're just promoting a product. You know the deal. They're there to promote a product, and they're doing that.
As soon as I start hearing words from the spec sheet, I'm like, okay, that's a hard no.
Yeah, Hoka Arahi 7 is the most comfortable shoe I've run in this year. It's just, yeah. Sorry, that's Hoka's one miss this year.
Anyway, yeah. We just bash on every influencer possible. So
no, I think there's a difference, and I think it's unclear sometimes for our audience to understand where we fall into stuff. Are we media like Runner's World or Outside or name?
I run far.
Media outlets, or are we influencers because we put ourselves out there? We show our personalities. We're part of the brand. It gets murky.
It's a weird middle ground that really didn't exist.
It didn't at
10
all.
10 years ago yeah. at all. But whatever.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it.
So yeah, that's it for trends.
Okay. So we don't like any trends.
Here's the other trend I don't like that I'll say, and this isn't influence or anything. I think maybe we're going to see a backlash to the Max Cushion shoes. Every shoe now is...
Okay. We don't need to talk about that.
Every shoe is absurdly Max Cushion at this point.
Okay. A quick question though.
You're not wrong.
When you say backlash, like, do you think it's going to be barefoot and minimal coming back? Or do you think it's going to be like a swing to the middle where it's like,
I think maybe.
I just don't need that much.
I think stack. The middle, but every once in a while I do see some Vibram Five Finger collabs coming out or like...
I mean,
Merrill.
Oh, I did see MT100's collab with New Balance. Like they did they're bringing that one back. Like I forget who I saw doing it with them. But as long as we're talking about that, should we talk about this?
Yeah, hold on. Wait, the other trend I think that we might see go away is plates. They're putting plates in everything now. I think they're going to start taking them out.
Mm, okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But that's my thought.
I don't think they're going away. I think that maybe there'll be less or at least an offering. I think the Super Trainer is here to stay.
Okay.
And you think they're staying in race shoes?
Most definitely.
Okay.
I don't think you could sell a $250 shoe without a plate right now for race day. The only exception I'll give is like the Super Blast, but I even think they're taming that one out so it's not as like race day competitive.
Look, I love high stack and I love plates. I don't want them to go anywhere, but I just feel like you're right. Like there's going to be a swing.
Yeah.
One way.
Oh, actually, man, now I'm thinking of so many things I hate.
What else you got?
I hate race.
How about the ketone IQ?
I don't, whatever. What I actually really do hate is technical shirts for races, like the giveaways that they give at races, giving away technical running shirts. Nobody needs them anymore.
Straight in the trash.
Do you not like your one from Boston?
I personally don't, but
you don't like that. You got a long sleeve.
It's nice. I mean, it's nice, but I
think if it's done well, nice? It's not bad. It is nice.
I mean, if for a piece of race gear, yeah, but you're also paying how much money to get into that race?
Yeah, like $300.
Yeah,
it's not worth $300.
I think here's what I always think. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when you want like a vintage piece of race gear or something and you're looking on eBay or whatever exists at that time, are you really going to be like, oh, I will love that technical polyester t-shirt?
But you like
around.
The cotton ones.
Yeah, I think they need to bring back some cotton t-shirts or long sleeves that you can actually wear.
I've always thought that the race giveaway should be a cotton tee because then when you're hanging out later, you can put it on and it's not weird.
Yes.
I like it because it's a supermarket. You can go to the grocery store. Tell
everybody. Cause like you're never wearing your medal around except for maybe the day after, which is still kind of weird in my opinion. No offense to people doing that. But like the t-shirt, you can be like, oh yeah, I ran that last year and
yeah.
I'm hanging out now.
Dude, influencers out there, if you're listening, I have a...
They're not anymore.
You're still around. Here, I have a good one. I wore my Boston Marathon medal for 365 days and here's what happened type reel.
I think somebody did do something like that, didn't they?
Laura Green did a spoof on wearing hers.
No, but there was a guy in New York who wore it for like, he wore his New York City Marathon for
the subway,
like a month.
Yeah.
Or okay. Something like that.
Well, I think a year would be an awesome time to do it. Everything, your kids' soccer games, going to church, whatever, you got to wear that medal. Well, it's part of your uniform.
I think it should be like the 6-star one. That one yeah. For a year.
Maybe after or Berlin we'll do that.
Even better, no, like your local turkey trot.
Yeah, that's even better. 5K medal.
Dude, I did win. I won my age group at the Zoom once.
Yeah.
And I had the medal they gave you. Like it's ridiculous. It is maybe the size of a quarter.
Oh.
But it's a cutout of like a leopard's foot with a wing coming off of it.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. And I'm like, it's the tiniest medal.
Remember
ever.
When we saw the history of the New York City Marathon medals at the New York Roadrunners headquarters?
Oh, yeah.
The first ones were legit like the size of a quarter, yeah. Maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah.
Half dollar.
I mean, they definitely have gotten. I think they peaked for a little bit.
They basically followed the same trajectory as pickup trucks, like from then until now.
Well, and so when before we went full in on Believe in the Run, we had Big Run Media where you're doing marketing for races, mm-hmm. And the number one selling point in how we would get registrations was a giant medal. Like the bigger the medal, yeah. The easier it was to get registrations.
I mean, that's basically the entire model of rock and roll races.
Yeah. Well, also think about belt buckles now.
Yeah.
Like if you run a race and you get a normal size belt buckle for a 100-miler, mm-hmm. You're like, mm. But yeah. If you get like that big
dinner
giant
plate.
Square, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, I would like to see more like shirts that you can actually use because you know all those go to Goodwill, right? Like I would say what percentage do you think of those race shirts go to Goodwill right afterwards? And nobody's buying those.
You know what's weird? We just signed up for something. I think it was the Ultra sign up. And they asked, you had the option of declining the...
Cherry Blossom does that.
The shirt?
Some races do that, but yeah. I've noticed, and I usually do decline it. Yeah. But a lot of them still don't offer that. And then they just go to some landfill somewhere because no one's... You feel like you're donating them to Goodwill, but no one's buying them. They just sit on there and then they throw them out.
Although every once in a while I see somebody walking around that I know did not run a race and is wearing a
race
shirt.
Did you ask them? It's like a marathon.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Second check-in. As long as we're talking about gear for the summer, we were talking on the podcast a little bit about ways to carry gels. And in the summertime, you're going to need to carry water. And that's something that we... always advocate is making sure that you're hydrated well. So maybe take a look at some handhelds and ways in which you can carry that water with you or map out where the water fountains are and make sure you're getting the hydration during your run. You should never be going over, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number here, but I'm going to say like if you're going for a 10-mile run, you should at least have a handheld with you, especially as the temperatures start to get over 70. All right, Meg, I talked about it many, many times. I like Element. I like it in still water and mixing the powder in there, but I really love it over ice with some bubbles.
Yeah, so they now have their sparkling Element. It comes in the same flavors, so grapefruit salt is one of my favorites. Also, I think you have watermelon.
I do like the watermelon.
Salt, that one's really, really good.
And then there's a citrusy one.
Yeah, so they have all the same flavors, but now it comes in a can of bubbles. You actually have to be an Element insider to get access to this right now, so it's not available to everyone. But if you are, you can go snag that. If you're not and you just want to try Element, you can get a free sample pack with any drink mix purchase by going to drinkelement.com/thedrop.
Real quick though, because I do want to talk about this. This isn't about the trends, but I can't stop thinking about this and it's freaking me out. So, you know, I find weird stuff on the ground and whatnot. My kids, because it passes on through my
genetics,
my DNA, they found a old, like an old hatchet in our parking lot. Did I tell you about this?
Yeah, you told me.
Like last week?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was like a possible murder weapon. I don't know. There wasn't any blood on it, so I was assuming it was good. But it was, they found it on the wall in the parking lot.
Next to a body.
Yeah. It's just a pile of bones. But you know the wall, like the tall wall on the side towards like Haven?
Yeah.
They found it on there. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, it was fairly dull, so not super dangerous. I mean, still an axe. But I put it on, they were playing in the parking lot, so I just put it on my wall, like on the other side of the wall by my house, which you can't see on the other side of that wall. It's has a lip to it. And then I never went back to get it. And then yesterday I was going to go grab, this is like a week ago. Yesterday I went back to find it. And it's not there.
That's creepy.
Which kind of like really weirds me out because.
So you have to climb up there to get it, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, you could reach just over the top, but why would someone be?
Yeah.
So now I'm like a little freaked out.
Yeah, someone's walking around with a hockey mask in your axe.
But I did tell my kids if they ever find a gun, don't touch that one.
That's good.
Yeah, because you do never know.
Solid advice.
In Baltimore.
Have you ever found a gun?
Surprisingly not. It's like on my bucket list.
Oh, jeez.
I just want to, I've gone to places where I thought they might have been tossed, but not, I have never found.
You're not going to do that magnet fishing?
That's the one reason I want to do it is to find, I want to go under the Hanover Street Bridge because I know there's tons of guns that have to be thrown over that bridge.
You think so?
For sure.
That's a good spot?
Yeah, because it's between Cherry Hill and downtown, so it's just, and it's a high bridge, so no one's going in there.
Let's do it.
But yeah, I haven't found, and up in Herring Run where there's that section of the park where everyone ditches like stolen cars, I bet there's some stuff in there too.
Most likely.
Yeah. Anyways. So that's what's going on. The mystery of the
axe.
Missing axe, which is, if anyone hears anything suspicious going on in Baltimore, let me know.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
So I guess if we're going with the trends and you're saying that high stack shoes are going to.
This is Robbie's theory. I'm saying no plates. He's saying lower stack.
Well, people who like a more traditional shoe are going to really like the update to the Pegasus.
Yeah, so, what do we got? What's changed?
Well, the React X foam, I think it feels pretty good. Squeeze that, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it in the, a lot of people, I guess, hated it in the Infinity Run 4, but it was soft.
Yeah, I mean, this feels medium, like it's definitely not like a gushy soft shoe.
Plus you got airbags in there.
Yeah. But the if you look at the forefoot.
Oh, it's definitely lower, right?
Yeah.
That's seems significantly lower than the.
So what I like about it, it's really flexible. So like when you're running, you can really, like you feel the toe off, like a natural toe off. And it does have the air zoom in there. So it didn't feel like it was too thin up front.
You lost me with natural toe off.
Yeah, Megan's not going to like it.
Not going to love that.
I think you will. Like, you used to love the Pegasus.
You only like a natural toe off.
She doesn't like to feel anything. I don't
want
to feel.
Yeah, I want a ton of
foam
under
it's
my foot.
Definitely, okay. I mean, you can see where it flexes here. That it's like when you're coming through your stride, you can definitely feel it. But upper fits great. I think this particular colorway I really like that we got, which is kind of, for those listening, like a peachy white. With like neon green.
Like a tequila sunrise. Yeah. I'm glad we got, or you got that instead of the standard navy or black that always comes to us.
Those were not cute.
Yeah. Overall, the fit is really nice. The upper feels good. I like this foam in the shoe. I think for, what are they asking for this now? What's the price?
140.
Is it 140?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
I thought it used to be like 120.
It was a couple years ago. Why did I think it was not that?
I just Googled it.
No.
But
release date, June 5, 2024, MSRP of 140.
Okay.
Now, I've been testing a shoe that I can't talk about that's a little bit on the heavier side. So when I put this on, it felt really light on my feet. But it weighs 10.5 ounces for a size 10.5.
I mean, I think that's what the Pegasus has pretty much always weighed.
Is it around there? But it feels, I mean, it's fun to run and I like it. And for like a basic trainer, I think it fits and fills the like intention.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks nice. They've got that going for it.
Yeah. And someone mentioned in, they were talking about the colorways, like just in the regular consumer shoe, they're probably going to come out with like 10 or 15 colorways for a peg. Mm-hmm. Then you can do the ID so you can color it all different ways. And then on top of that, they do like every college team and NFL team.
And they'll have a Gore-Tex version of it. And
yeah.
So this is actually a half ounce lighter than last year's version.
Oh, wow.
It's basically the same as the 39.
And that's how I kind of felt. I felt like this one was a return to like what the Pegasus should be.
Mm-hmm. Weighs the same as the Pegasus 37. So yeah, it's basically all the same.
Yeah. But I like it. Fits well.
Nice.
Feels fun to run in. Have you, cushioning's good.
Have you been running?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you know how to run?
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
I tried it all last week.
How many miles
do I have on it?
Did you do a long run in that shoe?
I've got 10 miles in it.
Okay. I got to say, because we haven't done the podcast since I ran in that Mizuno Neo Vista.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done it.
Oh, that's right.
I love that shoe.
Are you still wearing it?
I'm going to today. I haven't.
What are you
going to
do today?
Just a regular easy run.
Just mileage. I do like that shoe. I think it weighs less than the Vegas is.
Oh, yeah. It's almost, yours was 9.8 ounces. Yeah. It's like, I'm shocked.
You're shocked how much you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked because Robbie doesn't normally like
the soft,
pushy shoes.
And it's like really soft.
I mean, talk about going against your own advice here with the trend. It's got the plate. It's got 44 millimeters of stack. It's super cush.
Maybe it's partly.
I think you love the knit upper.
I do love the knit. I was going to say, maybe it's partly the upper fit I love.
When they do that right, it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's really hard to get that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it feels, I just really like, and it's because it's lightweight too, I think it doesn't feel like you're.
How many miles do you have on it?
Only like 10. So it's, again, I've only done a couple runs in it. So
all like, easy miles?
I
mean,
no, I did hill sprints.
And you liked it for that?
Yeah.
See, that's crazy because I felt like when I was out for our launch party last week, I was running with someone and we were running a bit faster than like would be my normal easy pace. Mm-hmm. And I felt like maybe it was a little too soft for that.
I could see. I think the running uphill was more of a toe, like a toe off.
But here's the weird thing. I agree with Megan that when I was running faster paces in it, it felt a little gushy. But the weird thing was my paces were good. So I was like,
Yeah.
So maybe I didn't feel that punch off the toe, but I was still able to get the turnover.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I would use it for speed wear. I'm just saying if you have some faster stuff in your,
it's definitely refreshing because I'm so used to Mizuno with the wave plate and just being like a firm, not super fun shoe. And this feels like a big departure from that, which is nice.
I think it's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to come back or at least try it.
I mean, that's the thing. It just has to start being a trickle. And we've seen that with other brands that have made like returns to the front is it's one or two shoes that people go, oh, wow. For ASICS, it was the Nova Blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like people were like, old school, whatever, and not innovating. And then Nova Blast, some people tried it, had a neat look about it. And then.
And we talked about it on our first thoughts video for the shoe that for both of us, it reminded us of a lighter version of the New Balance SC Trainer V1.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people loved.
Yeah, which was very popular.
Nice, comfortable training shoe. And I feel like it's very similar, just lighter. But, and same price, 180.
So this week, if you get your miles in on it, Meg, how many miles do you have on yours?
Four. The four that I did on the launch party.
Yeah, get your miles in. I've got like 30-something.
Yeah. I'm still trying to rack up miles in the Skyward X.
I can't wait. I want you to get that, hit that. You're doing 200, right?
Yeah.
Where are you with that?
I don't know, just over 100, I think.
That's another one that's really nice, but more of a cruiser.
That's another heavy guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, super nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I don't love those shoes, but maybe...
It's like we've hit the apex of how soft and how high.
Yeah, maybe just have the option. Like the Takumi Sen, I think, is why. I know that's a shorter distance shoe, but...
I mean, I think stuff like the Peg, and you're going to see some of the daily trainers come out, because you have to have a difference between your daily trainer, your super trainer, and your race day. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just going to see some more traditional lower stack daily trainers.
Yeah, and I'm like, should everything be this salt? I know that's like a huge discussion for another time, but like, should it be like long term?
You're saying for your health or for
strength? Just for general strength, mostly like strength.
I mean, look at performances. It's clearly working well for recovery. That is true.
Oh no, I get it, but I'm like, all the time is what I mean.
Well, no, but how about this? Maybe all the time for running, but like you wear shoes like around, like I know that we end up wearing our trainers a lot,
like just wearing barefoot
shoes. Yeah, oh, like dude. I tell you what,
Meryl, if you have the foot glove, what's that thing called?
Yeah, I think you said it right.
Hit me up, I'm wearing it casually. Let's do it.
Wait, so you love the Endorphin Speed? That's now has a 36 millimeter stack height.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't feel crazy to me. That feels normal. But you're saying that's too high. You think it's going down to like 26?
Yeah, I'm just interested in, I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying I'm interested in other options, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I try something a little lower, I'm like, let me get back in something comfy. Yeah, I think like when I
give me a Bondi.
But when I walk the dog, I'll throw on those what are the Matt Choi shoes? The
Canes?
Yeah, I'll throw on the Canes. And those are rock solid on the bottom like that. Yeah,
they're not because they're not recovery shoes. I mean, it's the same way with Crocs. Like those aren't comfortable. I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah. But I put those on and I feel like my toes and foot are working. But I don't know. And I'd like a softer, like this, we're doing Brooklyn half. By the time this comes out, it'll be the following day from when this podcast releases. But so I wanted to get, I had a new pair of SE Elite 4. So I took them on Saturday's run to just break in, just to see how they feel and stuff. Mm-hmm. I honestly felt like these feel a little different than
the proto pair
that I got. And I really liked, maybe it's just a fresh pair, but I liked the feeling of the cushioning. It felt a little stiffer. In this pair, and I felt like these, I was able to just kind of get into a nice cruising pace with them.
Yeah, I wore them yesterday for my longer run, and I loved them. I don't know that, you know, it's, I do feel like they're, I mean, we did that reel of all the weights of the race day shoes, and it's one of the heaviest outside of the Cielo X1. Is it the heaviest?
I think so. This was like 9-something.
Yeah. I feel like if they could lighten that shoe up, that would be a top pick.
Yeah, the platform is nice. The unfortunate thing is, I think a thing that a lot of people like is it's got the wider platform. Mm-hmm. And to lose weight, I think you're gonna take down some of the foam.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah, it's hard to say even how you would cut more weight.
Yeah.
Without.
I guess my question is, why is it heavier? Is it just the width?
It has to be a big part of it.
I mean, the upper does feel really light.
Yeah, there's like nothing to it.
So I'm thinking, yeah, it's like, even just look at the Peg bottom versus it.
They put fishing weights in that one too, so that's probably why.
I mean, the plate is substantial too.
Yeah.
Like it's not a tiny, thin plate.
I was just thinking, what if you had a shoe that you could put fishing tackle in? And then you could have a race where you have to catch as many fish as possible.
And then run back.
Yeah, and that's part of it. Your fish. You have the weight and counts the weight of how many fish you catch counts towards your finishing total. Like you get minutes taken off based on the weight.
I think you just made a new Olympic event.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Who's the next? Where's the next Olympics at? Paris, then what?
LA.
Is it back to LA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate,
it is.
I don't know if the fishing would be too
good
there.
What do you catch over there?
I don't know. You catch off the coast, killer whales, off sharks.
Off the coast, yeah. But yeah. I'm thinking in the city might be a little bit tough. So what do you think about, I know Lake this is trout? Like granola, gorpy, but like the Merrill Trail glove. Do you think that looks, think about the type of setting you're wearing this glove. Do you think that looks super nerdy or just mildly nerdy?
Horrible.
I don't know.
Terrible.
I think you could put it together.
I hate something. That.
Like with what Robbie's wearing right now, you don't think you could pull that off?
No.
Dude, Merrill, I'm talking. I'm going to send him an email today. Get the trail glove in the house.
That will look good on no one. There is no scenario where I'm going to look down and go, oh, wow, those are nice shoes.
More than willing to prove you wrong.
I have to say the Merrill minimal shoes, I think are one of the reasons I broke my metatarsal back in the day.
Were you wearing those?
It was very popular for the minimal shoes then. And I was testing a bunch of them and
I remember running too much.
And yeah, I was beating myself into the ground with those things.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if I can break a bone or not.
Chances
are. Dude, I don't know. I've been drinking.
Dude, are you really a runner if you haven't broken a metatarsal?
Hey. Right. And I drink a lot of whole milk. So I feel like I'm ready to go, dude.
This episode brought to you by the vitamin D.
Yeah. I've been preparing for this moment my whole life.
Big dairy.
Yeah, big D.
Do you really drink whole milk?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Big.
Because your kids are just...
Do you drink? You would,
you know what? For a while in my life, I dialed it back to skim. And you know what? I thought, why am I doing
brought
this?
Brought the joy away.
I don't need this. I need.
Are you drinking skim because you think you're fat?
No, it's not skim. It's 2%. Sorry. They're both the same.
But did you think it was healthier? Like, what was the reason?
Yeah, like it was just healthier for you.
You could drink whole if you wanted to.
I know. Thanks, dude.
Okay.
And now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to live my best life drinking whole milk. And it's been pretty good so far.
I just don't like it. Like, because
it tastes like a milkshake or something?
Like regular milk is just not, doesn't taste good.
I like it.
High five.
This guy also puts heavy cream in his coffee.
Not heavy. I put cream, half and half.
Okay.
So half heavy cream, half.
So I don't do that. Yeah, I just put
I don't even think it's heavy cream. I think it's half and half.
Yeah, it's half milk, half cream.
Yeah. Heavy cream is something different.
Yeah, that's.
What do you mean?
Heavy cream is straight cream. Half and half is half of the heavy cream, half
of the milk. Half of the heavy cream. Oh,
I wasn't even thinking it was half the heavy cream. I thought it was just cream.
Oh, yeah, it's just heavy. Heavy is heavy. Cream is heavy.
Yeah. All right. Final check-in. You're running in a new pair of shoes. You've got your hydration. Things are looking up. One of the things, as long as things are looking up, might as well have sunglasses on. Apparently, it's supposed to help with eye fatigue when you're running. So like it can actually be one of those things that you're expending mental energy on that you don't have to if you had a cool pair of shades on. We like them all. We like the cheap ones that you can toss like Gooders, and we like the expensive ones like Smith and other brands that you can run in that are high quality. There's something nice about each one of them. Lens quality on the more expensive glasses, but the ability to just not have to worry about, you know, where you left your sunglasses with the Gooders is always fun too. But pick up some sunglasses, help your eyes. Meg, I've been sleeping like a champ.
Is it because you have a lovely lagoon pillow?
That and melatonin edibles.
Melatonin and edibles? Or
gummies. But the pair is unbeatable.
Yeah.
So Lagoon is again a sponsor of this podcast this week. You can go to lagoonsleep.com/believe to check out all of their pillows and to take their quiz. It's very easy. You just have to explain your sleeping preferences and it populates the perfect pillow for you.
Dude, I think Lagoon should put together like a giant pillow fight. And maybe you win a Lagoon pillow.
How do you win a pillow fight?
You've come out on top.
Sounds like my 13-year-old self's dream.
How do you win a pillow fight? Like,
one really has pillow fights. That's never been a thing.
I bet you could have scoring. Like if it's two man in, like, Robbie and I
knock out to the face,
the most hits to the clean hits
CTE
to the noggin.
On deck. Yeah. All right.
See, I didn't even know what CTE is, so I had to look it up. But if you had it, the pillow sure would help.
Yeah.
And if you want the perfect pillow to slap someone in the face with, again, go to lagoonsleep.com/believe. Use the code believe for 15% off your first purchase.
Make sure they took the quiz first so you know which pillow to smack them with.
Ice cream. Also
heavy,
heavy.
I do love.
I put
some
ice cream in my coffee.
That's not a bad idea.
It's basically an affogato, right? That's just the reverse. Ice cream with espresso over top.
Oh, that sounds.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, you need to have it. It's
like hot espresso on it. Mm-hmm.
Oh. My mom in the summertime would make this drink with coffee, ice cream, and vodka in a blender, and it didn't taste like there was any alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And it's very dangerous. Yeah. Very delicious.
Well, that's basically
a milkshake with vodka.
A shaker. There's a drink called the, because Esquire did a thing on this last, it's called a shakerato. It's an Italian style shake iced coffee.
Oh.
And you put.
Do you blend it?
You do, but you also, but you put in an amaro or. Another ingredient, and it's basically Megan an alcoholic iced coffee.
Do you think Megan should put her pizza recipe up on?
Yeah,
the
someone
website?
Asked. I think I need to do it. Also, we had friends over for brunch this weekend, and we did the Bailey's and the coffee. Forgot how good that is too.
Yeah,
just straight Bailey's and coffee instead
Tastes
of cream.
Good.
Yeah,
yep. Alcohol at all times.
We're living the European life over here. Prosecco at every meal. We got to start making tiramisu because that hasn't come back with us yet.
Oh, yeah. So I sent you that meme this morning, Meg. Is that what did your kitchen look like that?
It didn't, but that's like what every friend's house looked like.
Get Carl to put it up on the screen.
Like I was literally like, that could have been one of my friend's houses.
Yeah. That's so accurate.
Yeah. It smells like Keystone Light. Just looking at it.
It's basically that 90s kitchen prefab type house that has
that
those,
was a fancy house.
Yeah. Not a prefab, but like a McMansion type style.
Dad's working.
They were
Lake
so
Mason.
Gaudy. Like, I'm like, why did we think that looked good? Yeah. Like, how was that a style? It was terrible.
What is it? It's like farmhouse mixed with like
French farmhouse
mixed with 90s what that was modern called. Design.
And like there was always like wallpaper and also what's the top part? What do you call
just like the border?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There's a name for it, isn't there?
Yeah. I think we talked about this before where it had like apples and stuff.
Flowers.
There's a lot of apples and flowers. Apples were big back then. Johnny Appleseed, all his life's work came into fruition in the 90s.
You know what? They don't have any influencers pushing apples anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm surprised big fruit or is that an industry?
I'll bet you definitely. If you just reviewed
you
apple
put big
types
in front of something, it's an industry.
And did the seasonal cycle of when's the best time to
the
get
Harry and
what
David
apple?
Has that.
Do they?
They do like the seasonal boxes.
But does anybody have an Instagram account that tells you, okay, Granny Smith, you're going to get
someone
crisp,
out there does.
You know, this, if you get a honey.
There's definitely an apple influencer.
Yeah. I would like to meet that guy.
Yeah, my favorite apple was the, and it's a little bit hard to find, it's the Northern Spy. I think you can find it at farmer's markets and stuff, but I just think it sounds cool. Like it sounds.
In your Merrell trail gloves, you go to the farmer's market.
It sounds like you're doing some cool stuff. Northern Spy.
It does.
Oh, you know what's funny? When you Google Apple influencer, it's like Apple iPhone.
Computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got so excited. I was like, there's 30.
Yeah. I mean, that would be it. Why doesn't Big Fruit or Big Apple promote like influencers saying, this is my favorite apple right now. You got to check this out. You know how they did the Got Milk or the pork like ads? It's not
absolutely
chicken or
so
the other white meat.
This is how many vitamins are in this apple. This kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's the next trend we're going to hate is
apple tasting.
Apple
there's,
influencing.
There's fruit talkers.
Fruit talkers, let's hear about that.
Oh, sick. Okay.
So they travel the world and show you like the fruit everywhere.
Oh, so it is a thing then.
I mean, that's a gig.
That's a really
that's
cool.
That's a smart
think about
smart
we
situation.
We have to run. All they have to do is taste stuff.
Yeah, eat delicious fresh fruit from around the world. We're in the wrong spot,
fruit
guys.
Fruit talk. Okay, I like this.
Yeah, fruit talk is the tastiest type of armchair travel.
Very cool.
Mm. Anyway.
On that island, you're not going to have any fruit. So that sucks.
What, Trash Island?
The one that we said that you could get. Oh, where
there's only
potato.
Peanut butter
chicken. I got a chicken. And he's chicken. Peanut.
I can't believe you went chicken.
I know, because you know I'm not going to clean it. I'm going to throw the whole thing in the fire and just pick the meat off.
Just like the whole animal?
The whole animal. The
feathers
be,
and all?
Yeah. I'm going to do it. The feathers.
It's going to be inedible.
The feathers will come off.
You're going to die first.
Don't mind that popping noise. That's
so
just his intestine.
So you would want a whole living chicken?
No, I'd want fried chicken.
Oh. Oh, so now,
in an island?
You can't. That's not one thing. Fried chicken requires multiple ingredients.
You didn't ask for it. You're jealous. I get it.
I don't even like fried chicken. We've had this conversation.
Dude, peanut butter has peanuts and butter.
Oh my gosh.
That's true. I am thinking though.
You're picking true. A different.
No,
it's too late. You already picked.
I forgot that Meg doesn't like fried chicken, which is just sounds
crazy, right?
I mean, birds aren't real. Are you sure that Meg is real?
I can't
because
even
because that's not a human sentence.
I can't.
The other day, he was like, "What if this is your AI person and you're off having fun somewhere?
Yeah,
and I'm talking to not the real you." And I was like, "This is a good idea."
Like, say that you're married and you like think you're happily married, but you're not because that person's AI, and the other person's out having a great time.
I like that this scenario is that I'm out having a good time.
And I'm talking about unloading the dishwasher and putting laundry away.
So presuming the one here is having a miserable time?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Real trippy.
And you just don't know that.
You don't. How would you know?
Like they're on the other side. You know, when we travel places and they're in another city and you're like, I can't believe this entire thing's happening over here.
Like there's people doing stuff.
Yeah, that have no clue. Literally doesn't matter to me in any way that this is going on. And to them, it's their whole dream life. And life and everything.
Yeah.
And for all I know, yeah, my AI wife could be over there doing, having the best time of her life. Hey,
when we're flying over Tokyo.
I didn't think
about
that.
And you see
that.
How sprawling it is. And how big it is. Mm-hmm. And you realize that each of our individual stories is so insignificant.
Yeah. It's like you could just be appreciative or you could just get depressed. And I think I'd get depressed.
Well, no, but that's the power of like movies and storytelling though, because it brings us all together into like a narrative. But I think it's also the problem with like now, think about how much we worry about stuff that we have no control over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't need to be thinking about it.
It's very true.
Like to live our lives, yes, you have to be an empathetic human. But at a certain point, you're worried about stuff that neither concerns you, that you have any impact on, or can't have any impact on.
I hate it. Yeah. But I can't stop myself from
having an opinion.
Yeah, thinking about it.
Yeah. I found that since we stopped watching the news, yeah. I'm a much happier person.
Oh yeah, I don't watch the news.
Like, and then every once in a while, I'll turn it back on and get reminded why I don't watch it.
Like it's terrible.
It really, they do. I feel like you get that compliment sandwich when you watch the news. It's like, here's a good little thing that's happening. Here's a whole bunch of shitty stuff, and we're gonna end it with a nice little note of something good.
Yeah,
and you're just like you're left with these feelings of hopelessness.
Yeah.
What? Let's not even talk about it.
All right. See.
It's bad. Bringing everyone down.
No, I'm
ostrich head. But this is why we.
And that's why you shouldn't comment on things happening on Instagram too.
Yeah,
should have made that mistake.
Yeah,
it's just like yeah. There's thing. It takes up to. Anytime I do that on Instagram, I instantly regret it because it takes up too much of my mental capacity. Like I deeply care about things, like,
and then you don't feel good afterwards.
Yeah. And it's just like, even if you're right or if it's just not worth it, it's because it's not worth it. It doesn't matter. Like it literally changes nothing.
I tried to explain this before it happened.
I know. And
I'm with Megan and I'm like, I make a comment. She's like, why are you commenting?
Yeah. It just creates more problems for yourself. Even if you're right.
I've never regretted not leaving a comment.
Yeah.
Like the next day. I'm like, damn it. I should have commented.
Should have made
that.
My point known. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So I think I'm finally, it's been a while. It's been like a couple of years since I've said anything about anything. Like on social media, because it's just never worth my mental.
Yeah.
I just think about it all morning, all night. Just you don't get shit done. It's just dumb. Anyways, so if I've done that in the past week, know that I probably regret it.
Probably. Or it may make it into the newsletter at the end of the week.
Either way. Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Anything else? Oh, we got these. This doesn't have to be on the podcast, but we got these John G sling bags have been awesome.
Yeah.
This is like their new version of it. It kind of looks cool.
Like, what's the difference between this and a purse?
I think this is a purse for dudes or not dudes.
It is. It's a purse.
Yeah,
but
it is.
They're calling it what?
It's their multi-pass mini pack, because the first one they had was the multi-pass sling bag, which is one of the best running accessories you can buy. And
this one's smaller.
This is a little bit smaller, but I do like, they have this like bungee system with the ring on the outside.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, what do you do with that?
It's like if you have a t-shirt or something, like if you want to just pack something else, it holds it down. It's kind of a cool design.
And you can stick a t-shirt through that hole.
Huh?
Oh, yes.
Like you could wrap it around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could do that.
You'd have to show me. I'm not.
It's like a loop.
Don't worry about it.
Shirt loop.
There you go.
And it has like a few pockets. I don't know.
I tried, cool. I think last summer I reached my max man purse summer. Like I used the John G bag.
Is it a hot girl summer, man purse summer?
Yeah. I used that thing all summer. And I probably will use it again because shorts, it sucks having stuff in your pockets in shorts.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
I know. That's like how I used to wear Buff all the time, and then COVID happened and I got so sick of that kind of crap that I just never even winter anymore.
I ran with a handkerchief or
a bandana
this weekend, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah?
Yeah, I did, because I was sweating, but it catches some of the sweat so you don't get so much on your chest.
What's the deal? What's the deal with putting ice in it that ultra runners do?
They have an ice bandana.
There's an ice version of it?
Yeah, okay. Where you can actually throw ice into it. I found when we did the Ironman, and not to get confused with the real Ironman, I did a 70.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Half Ironman.
Yeah, half Ironman. But I had like that compression belt on. For stuff, or I forget how it worked. Maybe it's just the way that the clothing worked, because it's like this, you're wearing almost like a leotard.
Yeah.
And I was taking ice and dumping it down my back, and it would catch in my waist so it didn't escape. So while we were doing the run, because they're usually done in like hot times of year, and you have to, like, we were doing a half marathon, and there's a lot of ice on the course. And as a matter of fact, they iced down the Martins, which were like amazing.
Yeah.
But like I would just throw ice down my front and down my back and be able to run with ice in there, and it would just naturally melt and come out. And that was a treat.
Nice. Yeah. Cause when we were on the Boston course, I was throwing ice in my hat all the time. But the problem is that you get the worst brain freeze in the whole world.
You were putting it in your hat?
Yeah. And it, like,
where
I had
did
to
you get ice.
I then had, people were handing out ice everywhere at Boston.
Did you?
See, I don't remember ice.
Dude, I must have done it four or five times. But the problem is that, you get a massive brain freeze.
I didn't know.
So I had to then like empty it out or take my hat off. It was wild.
Oh, that is crazy. I remember when we were running New York that one year, it was so hot. And Jared stopped at a medical tent to get, he put ice in his hat. Mm-hmm. He ran with that.
Put ice cream in his hat.
Yeah, pretty much.
cool.
Did you watch the Boston recap?
Yeah, it's awesome. Carl did.
I was thinking of Jarrett.
Carl did a great job.
He did.
Are you thinking of Jarrett?
I was thinking when we were talking about Jarrett.
Yeah.
He's in that video and you see him. So,
yeah.
I was thinking about him.
Man, I wanted to talk about the Tom Brady roast, but I think we're already gone.
Yeah, we've gone too far. Yeah,
it's pretty long.
We can bring it up next time.
It's pretty good though, right?
I thought it was good.
Did you watch all of it?
Yeah.
You know what, we watched the Nikki Glaser special on HBO.
Yeah, she's not. She
was so good on that panel. I thought it was going to kill.
Yeah.
It wasn't that great.
Yeah. That's why, what's his name? Made that joke about it.
Like, where has this been your whole career? All right.
Anyways,
there's some good jokes, but man, it took me back to the 90s.
Yeah. It's like, we're back, baby. All right. We can wrap it up, 'cause it's been a pretty good
All right, you know you got to say, Meg. Yeah, there you go. And Carl, thank you for editing up this podcast and getting it out. And hopefully you're listening to this either on Friday, and we're going to see you tomorrow at the Brooklyn RBC Brooklyn Half with New Balance and the New York Roadrunners. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll see you someplace else.
Pretty soon.
All right, peace.
Bye.